What does it mean when we say Christ is the King of the universe, or that he is the Lord of life? What does that mean? I guess really, what it really means is that each and every one of us has been saved by him. And because he chose to come into the world at the will of the Father, he chose to come into our world to become one of us, to leave his Godhead behind, to live among us, to teach us a way of life, to show us how to live in harmony and peace with one another and with our God. Then he suffered and died for the times we mess up. And then he rose again. And he promised that if we're faithful to him, we would share in this new life. And he went back to the Father, where the Father declared him King of the universe. So we kind of say, well, yeah, we know that stuff. But how does this really affect you personally? And I guess that's the question we need to ask ourselves. How is Christ Lord of your life? We say that he is, but what does it mean to us? It really means that if we say that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life, that we mean that we give him priority in absolutely everything. In every phase of our life, in every phase of our being, what Christ asks of us, we choose first. We choose to do what Christ asks of us. So we can start with our own personal life, you know, and we're kind of simple beings, but we're made up of mind and body and spirit. And so if Christ is the Lord of my life, how is he Lord of my mind? How is he Lord of my body? How is he Lord of my spirit? Well, with my mind, it would be that if I considered Christ the Lord of my mind, it would mean that somehow I have to be interested enough in him that I'm going to study something about him, that I'm going to keep trying to learn a little bit more about him. See, and we don't finish that study when we're in the sixth grade, or when we receive confirmation. That's not the end of the study. That really is the foundation. We move on from there for the rest of our lives. And I mean even for us elders, for the rest of our lives. We're never finished trying to learn, to read, to pray, to study, who is this God who does so much for me? Who is he? How do I make him a priority in my mind? So somehow or another, we have to make room in our mind for time, for study, for a learning, becoming more aware of who this Lord of my life is. How does he affect my mind? And we can say, well, how about our bodies? How does he Lord of our bodies? Remember when we were baptized, he said, you are temples of the Spirit of God. Your body is holy because I dwell there. So it means that if we believe that Christ is Lord of our bodies also, it means that we put his ideas, his teaching first, that we respect who we are as a temple of God, that we don't abuse our body with all kinds of stuff, with drugs or alcohol or sexual abuse or any of this kind of stuff. We try to live a life that respects who we are as a temple of God. If we don't respect our own person, we should at least respect that we are a temple of God. And when we say, how can he be Lord of my spirit? Well, I think that was probably the most obvious, that he tries to teach us the way of love, of mercy, of compassion, of forgiveness, of all of these things that Jesus did in his lifetime. That's how he is Lord of our spirit, which means, again, that we put him first in all of these things. And if we don't put him first, obviously we're putting something else first. If we exclude him from any part of our life, then he's not Lord of our life. We say that he's Lord of our life, that means we are one being, and that we give our lives totally to the service of him. It means that we try to live the life to the best. Doesn't mean we're not going to mess up. We're people, remember. And people mess up. But that we continue to work to make the things of God priority in our lives. And it should affect reach out to your family life as well. Because if He is Lord of your life, you're married, you have a family, how does He stand there? How does He live in your family life? What kind of is there the kind of love, the kind of time, the kind of compassion, the kind of mercy, the kind of forgiveness, the kind of prayer, the kind of sharing, having fun, enjoying life, learning the foundation of a peaceful life, of a holy life, of a good life? Are we doing that? And if He's Lord of our life, He's Lord of our family as well. What are we doing to make that happen? And it doesn't always just happen. It's like when we are baptized, it does not just happen that we know everything about our faith. It's something you work at. And if Christ is not the priority in your family life, He's not Lord of your family life, who or what is? Something has to take priority. Too often in family life, I think it's ourselves. We want our way and we don't care about anybody else. And that's not only children sometimes, it's parents as well. Spouses do that to one another. If Christ is Lord of your life, your marriage is affected by that. It should make a huge difference because you have a goal. You have goals, ideals that you are striving to maintain and to build into your family life. Pope Francis keeps talking about how extremely important Christian family life is. What do we do to nurture that? What are we doing to make that thrive in our world today? And God only knows our world needs strong family life. We don't see too much of it like we should. But if we profess Christ is Lord of my life, He affects that and should make a difference. And He also reaches into our social life. Is our social life life-giving? Is it uplifting for people? Is it a good thing? Is it a holy thing? Is it a fun thing? Or is it destructive? And if our social life is destructive, obviously He's not there. Obviously we have not made Christ Lord of our social life. But we've made something else. Maybe it's our drinking. Maybe it's just our pitching aside of all values. Whatever it may be, if it's not Christ, it has to be something else. And we go on, say like in your workplace, does anybody know that you're a Christian? Sometimes we're very, very good at hiding that. If Christ is the Lord of my life, how can I hide that? Somehow, that has to come out. Somehow it has to manifest itself. Maybe I don't say a word about it. Maybe I just, the way I act, the way I treat people, the honesty I show, the effort that I put into my job, all of that kind of stuff. Maybe that's all it takes for me to manifest it somehow. I believe that Christ is Lord of my life, and He expects me to do my job. He expects me to be a good influence on the others who are present here. Do I do that? And if I don't, who is Lord of my life? What controls my attitudes, my behavior, my conversation, whatever it may be, my work attitude? What controls that if somehow I've ruled out Christ as being the Lord of that life? I think about politicians often. I don't always like them. But I think about them. You know, when they profess publicly to be Catholic, and yet they find no problem voting for and promoting things that are definitely anti-Catholic, against our Catholic teaching. Is Christ Lord of that political life? I mean, if he's Lord of my life, it covers everything that I am. No matter what I do, no matter where I go, somehow he's got to be there. And I honor and I respect him and I try to live the way he wants me to. But how do you do that? If you profess very loudly over here that this is what I am, but it doesn't show in my actions, what is guiding your life? So we kind of think about those things. Is Christ really Lord of my life? Is he really? Probably a good way to measure that is prayer. It always comes back to prayer. Prayer simply is nothing more than keeping in touch with God. That's all it is. It's conversation with God. It's communicating with him on whatever level it may be. Simply by being in his presence, simply by wishing good to somebody, by doing a kind deed, by a good word, whatever it may be. But somehow or another, our communication with God is in prayer. That's what we call prayer. And so a good measure of if Christ is Lord of my life is how much do I pray? Do I pray? Do I ever set aside any time that this is God's time? That I'm going to spend this time, you know, I know people are very, very busy. They run themselves crazy, but they also waste a lot of time watching idiot programs on TVs, tinkering forever with these little thumb games that are electronic and make funny noises. All of those things that we always seem to have time for that stuff. It does nothing to enrich our minds or our intelligence. It does nothing to help us live better lives. It does nothing really to help us make our world a better place. Frequently, they are simply mindless shows. Entertaining, sometimes good. That's good for a laugh. You need that. Everybody does. But we always have time for that stuff. But when we say, I don't have time to pray, all you need to pray is a couple of minutes. Simply what you are doing is acknowledging to God that if you're Lord of my life, I want to talk to you about it. I've got issues I need to deal with. I've got issues I need to discuss. I have things I have to change. I have difficulties that I'm struggling with that I don't know what to do about. How do I find some help with this? That's our prayer. And we do that by simply giving God time. You know, in family life, in our house, when I was a kid, of course, this is 100 years ago, but when we grew up, we were taught to pray. You never went to your first grade in school without knowing all your prayers. You had to know them. Otherwise, our pastor would probably throw you out until you come back when you knew them. Our parents taught us to pray, and they prayed with us. So that every meal, no matter how busy we thought we were, every meal there was a prayer before, and most of the time after. You didn't get up from the table until you had finished your meal and finished your prayer. Before you went to bed, frequently they knelt down and prayed with you. So they were sure that you knew your prayers because they would pray them with you. And how often would you sit down with the family and pray the rosary together? Or in those days, Bishop Sheen was a big deal on TV, and people used to, that was very enlightening, but you had to spend time listening to him. Of course, as kids, that's not always easy. We didn't always want to do it, but we did it because it was important to our families. And they trained us to. They trained us to pray. They helped us to pray. Was it perfect prayer? Probably not. But it was our way of communicating somehow with God and acknowledging that he really is Lord of our lives. So if you want to measure how Christ is Lord of your life, begin by looking at your prayer. If you don't have time to pray, if you don't have time for God at all, you have time for something. What is it that takes priority over God? If I keep saying he's Lord of my life, I want him to be the major influence in my life, I want my decisions to be based on his priorities, and I don't have time to pray, it's kind of like we're kidding ourselves. Am I serious about my relationship with God? I'm not very serious if I never find time to pray. You can say, well, on the golf course I prayed once, and God didn't answer my prayer because he didn't understand golf. But is that a prayer? Maybe. I kind of doubt it. I've heard expressions on the golf course that certainly were not prayer. Some that were, but they were kind of, I think, wasted petitions. But anyway, it's important for us. Think about this. We celebrate this great feast of Christ the King. We say we celebrate this because he is King of the universe, because the Father gave him that for what he did for us. And we say he is Lord of our life, that we want to pattern our life after his. We want his opinions, his attitudes, his way of life to be priority in everything that we do, but we don't have time to pray. So how does that tell God that I love him, that I really am interested in him, that I really want to grow, that I really need something, that I need direction, that I need help, I need whatever it may be? How can God say, are you sincere about this? You got at least a couple minutes? And it doesn't have to be long, but we need to make time. So we need to check on ourselves and check in with God. It's our conversation. It's the way you get to know him. It's the way you express yourself to him. It's what, tell him what you need. You don't always have to use the prayers that we all memorize. You don't. Sometimes prayer is simply telling God, look, I'm miserable. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. I need some help. That is a prayer. But you've got to believe it and really want to communicate with him. So in this feast of Christ the King, think about this. How is Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, how is he Lord of my life? Is he really Lord of my life?